here. Good to have Brother David with us and his two daughters, Phoebe and Ruth. Welcome. Tonight I was going to bring a message on evangelism. I know we had Brother Dagan here this morning. I was away, but we had Brother Dagan, and I'm sure you would have enjoyed him. He's something else. Yeah, I love him. I was a part of his ordination council and his ordination, and it was a great time. So I don't know what he spoke on this morning, but I wanted to get you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26, and I was going to speak tonight because of the emphasis on missions, the missions trip, and I didn't even know these posters were going up tonight, Ben. So praise the Lord for that, Brother Chris, Brother Ben. Fits right in with what I'm going to speak on tonight. Evangelism is a very important thing. In fact, it's the heart. It's the heartbeat of heaven. All right? Missions and evangelism is the heartbeat of heaven. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent as a missionary, an apostolos. He was sent on a mission, and we know what that mission entailed. Got another message I could bring one time about at least 25 reasons why Jesus came to this earth. That's quite a few. Not just one or two, but at least 25. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts from it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 26. Saul of Tarsus has gotten saved way back there in Acts chapter 9. Now he's going to go to Rome. He appeals to Caesar because the Jews want him dead. And the Romans have said, well, we don't see any cause of death in him. But in Acts chapter 22, Paul gives his testimony. In Acts chapter 26, Paul gives his testimony. Look at chapter 26 and verse 13, if you would, please. He's giving his testimony. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is the heart of evangelism, the heart of missions, the heart of outreach here, right here in verse 16. And if you go down to verse 18, it's to open their eyes, all right, and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is in me. So here we see Paul. He's been called to evangelism. He got saved on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, and right then and there, the Lord Jesus Christ tells him to go wait in the town, and a man will come and visit him. And, of course, he's been called to be a minister. He says, I will make thee a minister. For those who may be studying for the ministry, it's God that makes the minister. It's God that makes the minister. And so he said to Paul, I will make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things of which I will appear unto thee. You ever think about that phrase? The things which thou hast seen. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated the name of Jesus. He hated the church of Jesus Christ. He hated the apostles. He hated the Christians. He just wanted to get rid of them. Wanted to get rid of them off the face of the earth. Tried to destroy the church, he says in his own words. He didn't believe Jesus rose from the grave. He didn't believe in the resurrection. He was like the rest of the Jews. They propagated the lie that his disciples came and stole the body. Well, you know something? Saul of Tarsus had a knowledge of the Old Testament. And, you know, he had that in his favor because God was going to use his knowledge of the Old Testament to go and preach the gospel to the people he would be preaching to and witnessing to. Not only that, it says, the things which thou hast seen and heard. I wonder, I'm not speculating, I'm just wondering now whether Saul of Tarsus actually saw Jesus Christ perform miracles. Did you ever think about that? Because he was raised up there at the feet of Gamaliel, trained as a Pharisee. So he went there as a young man, and he spent a lot of years there in Jerusalem. So I'm just wondering, not speculating, whether he actually saw Jesus perform some of those miracles. Because there were Pharisees that saw Jesus do some of the miracles that he did, and they still walked away in unbelief. John 12:37, have a look. John 12:37. I wonder whether Saul of Tarsus may have been in some of those crowds with some of those religious leaders such as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and I wonder whether he would still walk away in unbelief and say, I don't believe this. John 12:37. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The facts and the evidence were laid out before the people. How could you deny something like that when they would see people healed of their blindness, of their deafness, to be healed of their lameness, and to be raised from the dead? I mean, to just totally deny that shows pride and arrogance. When a person's life is filled with pride, you find you can't teach them much. The devil was like that. He was full of pride, and there's no way he's going to give in, and he's just going to keep going in his arrogant way. And so Saul of Tarsus was like that. And so when he's going to Damascus on his way, he's going to arrest all these Christians. And lo and behold, he struck down on the Damascus road here. They all fell to the ground. And he hears this voice. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I'm the one you think is still dead. I'm the one you don't believe rose from the grave. But hey, I am here. And he says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That simply means that, hey, he's heard the preaching of the apostles. He's seen the growth of the church. And he's had the conviction of the Holy Spirit pricking his heart, saying, you know, this is all true. You don't like it, but yet it's all true. And so he met Christ on the Damascus Road. And so from that time on, Saul of Tarsus became a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, a witness, just like God said he would be. And wherever Saul of Tarsus went, hey, he began to preach, began to teach, he began to witness. When he first got saved, even the apostles wouldn't accept him. They didn't trust him. Well, I wonder why. Because, you know, it seems like he might have been a double agent sort of thing. But, you know, Barnabas stood up for him and said, no, it's all real. It's all true. You can trust him. And so Saul of Tarsus preached the gospel. And you know what happened? The people that were his friends became his enemies. And his enemies became his friends. The people he used to work with and the poor, they turned on him. They wanted him dead. Because now he's become a Christian. The call to evangelism. So Saul answered the call. He said, I will call you to be a minister, I'll make you a minister, and I'll send you out to be a witness. And so evangelism is being that witness. Number one, there is the call from the field when it comes to this area of evangelism. And you know, Satan keeps men blinded to the truth. Why is it that Satan wants people to remain lost? Because he doesn't want people to get saved. He doesn't want people to go to heaven. Because he knows he's all washed up. He's finished. He's got but a short time. He knows where he's going to wind up. There's no redemption for Satan. He's going to be in the lake of fire. No, he won't be tormenting people. He'll be the one being tormented day and night forever and forever. So we see the call from the field, John chapter 4, evangelism. And I mean, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, the Bible says. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ happened to go by Samaria, down by Jacob's well in Sychar. And he went down there because there was the call of the field. There was one person down there that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to talk to. It was a woman by the well. And after he got into a discussion with her, you know what? Look here, John chapter 4, verse 34. John 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He says, have a look at the field. It's already calling out to you. The call from the field. There are souls that need to be saved. There are people who are looking, believe it or not, for answers and for truth. And even though they don't want the truth, they don't want to know the truth, they're actually looking for truth. And they don't like it when they get it. But they still need to be told. And it's like that. I'll show you some verses on that in just a moment. So there's the call of the field. The field is crying out. Souls are crying out, I need to know the truth, even though they don't want to know the truth. That might sound like a contradiction because they don't want the facts, they don't want the truth, they don't want the evidence. They believe a lie before they believe the truth, and that's the truth. So the call from the field, this woman, the Lord Jesus went out of his way to go down there and deal with her about her soul, and the outcome of that was, hey, she got saved. What did she do? She wasn't a theologian, she wasn't seminary trained. She went into the town and told the men, said, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. She was a witness. You know, evangelism is just telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, how you got saved and how he saved you. She went in there and said, come see a man that told me all things I ever did. And they went out. But you know, many people got saved. Many of those men got saved because of her testimony. And many more people got saved because they heard the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. So this is the call from the field. There are people who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read in Acts chapter 10, we won't get there now, but there was the call from the field when it came to Cornelius. He was a man that was a Roman soldier. He was down there praying. He fasted. He gave money all the time to the poor. And God said to him one day, he said, you know, your prayers come up as a memorial before God. That word's only used of two people in the New Testament. One of them is Cornelius. The other one is the woman who anointed Jesus for his death. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel goes, the story will be told of what she did for me as a memorial to her. Two people. One was a lost one, and of course there was the woman who anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. So Cornelius was a lost man, but the cry was there. The cry of the soul of Cornelius, and God did say, well, I'll tell you what, this is what you need to do. He didn't say that. He said, send down to Joppa, get Simon Peter to come up here, and he will tell you words whereby you must be saved. That's found in Acts chapter 11. So Acts 10 and 11, the call from the field, there was Cornelius. And then, of course, the disciples are down there preaching the gospel in Judea and Samaria, and they've started to branch out. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit calls Philip out of the midst of revival down there in Samaria. He says, you know what, there's one man that needs to hear about my son. He's down there in a chariot down in Gaza. I want you to go down there and I want you to tell him about my son. Well, Philip didn't say, well, hang on a minute, better things are happening here than going down there to reach one man. See, even one man, one person needs to be reached, and we ought to have a burden for people in our town, in our cities, in our surroundings, and for the mission field. I mean, we support missionaries, and so the call from the field is there. Cornelius, he called out, God sent someone. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was searching for truth. He came up from Ethiopia in his chariot, and he went to Jerusalem poor to worship, and he came back just as dry and barren as lost as when he first went up there. He was standing riding along in his chariot reading Isaiah 53 aloud. How do you know that? Well, read it, Acts chapter 8. And Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should show me? And he got up into the chariot, and he preached unto him Jesus. Evangelism. So there's the cry of the lost people. Sometimes it may surprise you when you give somebody a track. The shock might be, well, they took it. You know, sometimes we think sometimes most people will refuse tracks, but we find most times people will take them. You'll get the occasional person saying, no, I don't want any of that rubbish, you know. So it's a call from the field. So we have to get out there and give out the tracks. Now, our mission trip down to Lavington will include some of that. I'm sure we'll be out on the streets witnessing, giving out tracks and doing things like that. And then number two, there's the call from the Lord of Harvest. Look over in Matthew chapter 9. So there's not only the call from the field, there's the call from the Lord of the Harvest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9, let me get there. Matthew 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. This has been the verses of scripture I've had on my prayer letters for nearly 40 years or more. So we pray that we'll have more and more people come into the harvest to try and reap the souls of men. And so there's the call from the field. There's the call from the Lord of Harvest. There's a need for labourers. And there's a need for people to just simply take tracks from that back rack back there. Take them with you. Give them out at the service station. Leave them in the telephone boxes. Give them to the checkout operator. I mean, you don't have to be a theologian to be an evangelist. An evangelist is someone who speaks and tells others about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the call from the field, there's a call from the Lord of Harvest, and I don't need to develop that anymore because we know the Lord Jesus wants us to be witnesses for him. Then there's the call from above. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Even back in the days of Isaiah, God wanted someone to speak for him And we know this is Old Testament, but this theme is carried throughout the Old Testament as well. Isaiah chapter 6, if you look down there quickly with me, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Then he said, go and tell this people." Go and tell this people. And you know, the Lord has spoken to so many people down through the years. Fellas to go to the mission field, fellas to go to the ministry. I went into Bible college back in 1975 with a fellow that had the call to the ministry, and he started training in Bible college, but you know, to this day he still has not gone into the ministry. There are others who did the same thing. They felt the call of God. They really believed God had called them to go into the ministry, but today we started off in Bible college with 19 students. There's only two of us still standing today. And that was back in 1975. So, you know, when God calls, we need to answer. And, you know, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, say, you know, give that person a track. Yeah, but I don't want it. Well, give it to him anyway. So, has that ever happened to you? Go back and give it to him. All right, Lord. You know, how many times has that happened to me? It's happened to me. So there's the call from the Lord of harvest. Then there's the call from above. The Lord said, who shall I send? Who will go for me? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. You know, if the Lord said, well, what about you? What would you say? Well, here I am, Lord, send me. The Lord of the harvest, whether it's here in your own locality, down on the streets. You know, I drive through that area down there going over to Ride, and I see all these Chinese restaurants and these Chinese signs and these Korean signs. I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if I could speak Chinese or Korean and take Korean and Chinese tracks and go down there, I'd give them out. You never know, I might get there yet. Might just have to give them English tracks, amen? Be careful, I might ask one of you to go with me. All right, but look at it. It's the call from above. God said to Jonah, go. Jonah said, no. God said to Moses, go. And of course, Moses had a lot of excuses to start with. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Oh, we live in hard times. We really do. And Moses had a lot of excuses, but eventually God convinced him and he went. But over here in Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel 3, great verse of scripture here. The children of Israel are in captivity. They've disobeyed God, and so God has finally sent them off to captivity for 70 years. And Ezekiel is a prophet to his own people here. And look what it says down here in chapter 3, verse 4. And he said unto me, son of man, go. There's that two-letter word again, go. This is the prophet now. He's been called to go to his own people. He said, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. You know, we don't take verses out of context, but you can take the principle out of this verse here. It still applies today. Go and speak with my words unto them. You know, God said, I'm not sending you to a bunch of strangers or foreigners that don't understand you. Had I sent you to those sort of people, they would have listened to you. But I'm sending you to your own people. People who understand you and you understand them. Look on down verse 7. He says, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Says, you know, they still need to be told. They won't listen to me and they're not going to listen to you, but they still need to be told anyway. People may not want to listen. People may not want to know, but they still need to be told and somebody needs to tell them. Lovingly, kindly. I mean, sometimes they'll get abrupt and sometimes they'll get rough and sometimes you might get a bit scared of them. There'll be a young fella coming down next week. His name is Owen. He comes out on the street with me giving out tracks and he's a little bit taller than me. He's 24 years of age. And he came down the street one day with me for one of the first times giving out tracks. And we came down past the tattoo shop with all the bikies sitting out the front with their leather jackets and their studs and their tattoos and everything. I said, Owen, don't be scared of these fellas. They may look intimidating and scary. I said, but let's go over to them. Let's take these tracks over to them. About six of them sitting there. And I said, don't be frightened of them. I said, many times they will give you more respect than the average person on the street. So we walked over and said, fellas, can I give you a gospel even? It shows you how to get saved so you can go to heaven. And about four or five of them, you know, I think there was only one refused. The rest took them very respectfully. They were not abrupt. There was no blasphemy or anything like that. So I said, you know, these guys, they will give you more respect many times than the average person. So don't be frightened of them. Don't be scared of them. So he's not scared to give out tracks to bikies now. So look at Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Even though they may not want to know, we still need to tell them. Don't put that stuff in my mailbox. Had a guy call us up one time. We sometimes send out our tracks in letters marked the householder with a letter in there. We pay at the post office to be sent out by Australia Post. Got a phone call one day from this guy. He says, I don't want you sending anything. I don't want anything in my mailbox from you anymore. I said, well, that's a bit hard. He said, well, why is it a bit hard? I said, well, we sent it out by the post office. We didn't deliver it. The post office did. Okay. So that's a good way to do it. Yeah, we had all sorts of people. Jeremiah chapter 7. How are we going for time? Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's have a look at that. Down in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 27. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Evidently there was a problem. Jeremiah was confronted with the same thing as Ezekiel was confronted with. God said, they're not even going to listen to you. They won't even answer you. And you know, sometimes that's the case. But we need to get a burden to evangelize these people, even if they don't want to hear, even though they may just give you a tough time and a hard time. And so we got the call from the Lord of the house. We got the call from above. And then, of course, if you look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. You've only got to look at Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Luke 24, 46 and 47, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's go. And share the gospel with them so that they can get saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And here's the reason why some of these people are like this. There's a key to this. Why do people refuse the gospel? Why do they refuse to let you tell them about the Lord? Well, I'll tell you why. It's found here in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look down at verse 18 with me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Lost men think the gospel is foolishness. What a load of rubbish. What a load of rot. Well, God says lost people think like that. That's why they think like that, because they're lost. Because they're perishing. And so we need to tell them. No, friend, that's a dangerous thing to do, because you're on your way to a Christless eternity called hell, and you need to rethink this, because if you die without Christ, you're going to wind up in hell. Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not about signs and wonders. It's all about witnessing, telling them about Christ. Titus. Look at the book of Titus, if you would please, chapter 1. Have a look at verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through miracles and signs and wonders. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that, does it? So how does God manifest his word in the 21st century? It's not through signs and wonders and miracles, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Saviour. You know what? The word of God will do the job. The Lord Jesus Christ said, when you go out, you represent me. And if they hate you, they'll hate me. If they despise you, they'll despise me. And they'll despise the one who sent me and the one who sent you. So when you go out there, don't feel sorry for yourself if they give you a hard time. If the Lord Jesus did it personally, they'd give him a hard time. Look at his life as he ministered for 3.5 years on the earth. Look at the tough times that people gave him. Got another message here. I don't know whether I ever preached it here. The rejected Christ. They hated him. Received him not. They were offended at him. They said he was empowered by Beelzebub. They said he's crazy. He's bewitched. He was rejected, ejected, thrust out. Leave our area. Don't come back. We don't want your kind here. That's just a little taste straight from the Gospels about the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't feel bad when you try to be a witness for the Lord. Hey, missionaries have had a tough time down through the centuries. And listen, Christians have had a tough time also. So have a look down here in Acts chapter 22, verse 18. So the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I know we're running out of time here, but have a look at Acts chapter 22. Now, this is another time where Paul's going to give his testimony about getting saved on the Damascus Road. But I want you to see verse 18 here. This is great. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it in this church here before, but there has been times when the Lord Jesus Christ said, don't go preach there. The Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you preaching there either. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. Look over here in Acts chapter 22, verse 18. Acts 22, verse 18. I'm going to bring a little bit of humanistic thinking in here for you to show you what goes on. In Acts 22 and verse 18. And saw him saying unto me, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, you know what, they're not even going to listen to you. You're wasting your time. The Lord Jesus Christ said, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And that's not the first time. You go over to Acts chapter 15 and 16, and you'll see how that Saul of Tarsus and his friends were traveling around Asia Minor preaching the gospel, and they decided to go into Troas and so forth, and the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you there. They all go over here, and the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you there either. So they were forbidden to preach the gospel in several regions of in Asia, and then God said, this is where I want you. The Macedonian call came. So you get the call from the field, the call from the Lord of harvest, you get the call from above. And then, of course, we see down there 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sometimes the Lord will just prompt you and say, you know, I think it's wise not to preach here. I think it's wise to just steer clear of this. You need to follow the prompting of the Lord. There's been times and places and that where I've said to myself, I don't think I want to be here giving out tracts because, yeah, it didn't look good. It didn't feel good, not that we go by feelings, but, you know, you have to use common sense. I know we go out as lambs amongst wolves, and you've got to remember that too. So here, lambs are not friends with wolves, and wolves aren't friends with lambs. So just remember that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at verse 16 and verse 17. You know what it's like to feel alone and be abandoned? Well, Paul did. Said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. That's verse 16. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, he said, the Lord stood with me. You know, even though they abandoned me, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. For any of you fellows planning to go on in the ministry, look, it's tough. There'll be tough times. You may want to sit down and cry like a baby because, you know, you'll feel abandoned like Paul. But listen, the Lord's still there. Let me finish up with this. I know there's the call from the regions beyond. There's the call of the Holy Spirit and, of course, the call of the gospel itself. But let me finish up with this one here. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. You know, there's the call from hell itself. There are millions of people who've died and they've gone to hell. And they're not desiring people to come to hell with them so they can party on. Look here in Luke 16, please. Luke 16. Look at verse 23 with me. Actually, you can read the whole thing. I won't do that tonight, though. Luke chapter 16. It's about the rich man who died and went to hell. The beggar died and went into Abraham's bosom. He was in paradise with Abraham. But look here in Luke chapter 16, verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. This is the rich man who died and went to hell. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It's not figurative. It's not a parable. It's real. And it says here, I am tormented in this flame. So when you die, you go to a place called Hades to await judgment. And people are tormented there in the flame, awaiting the white throne judgment. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You know what? You're only getting, what you have sown. If you'd have been like Lazarus, it would have been a different story. And he says, beside all this, there is a great, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I see advertisements for all these books at Christian bookstores and so forth and so on. People who've died and they've gone to hell and they've died and gone to heaven and they've come back to tell you what it's all about. And I don't believe any of that stuff. Why? Just based on Luke 16. But anyway, he cries out and you know what he says? Firstly, it's all about me. Send Lazarus to cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. But then it says in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. That's just one man crying out for somebody to warn his five brothers, lest they wind up in hell. How many millions of people are in hell tonight crying out, I wish someone would go to my loved ones and tell them hell is for real, heaven is real, and they need to turn from their sin or they're going to wind up in this place, and I don't want them to wind up in this place. That's the cry from hell. Lost souls are crying out now for somebody to warn their loved ones to get saved, or they'll wind up down there in a place called hell, and they'll be tormented forever and forever. So, my friend, lost people are lost. They need to get saved. And there's a lot more things here in this 16th chapter here that can be revealed. I won't have time to do that tonight. Maybe another time we can do that. But the call from below is, hey, the lost are lost. They're in hell. The call from below is the lost are saying, I've got lost loved ones that are still lost and they need to get saved, because if they don't get saved, they're going to wind up here, and I don't want them here because they're going to be tormented in this flame. So let's put the emphasis on evangelism, certainly on missions. Hey, I know you support missionaries. We support missionaries. We believe in evangelism. We believe in going out and witnessing. And so as we prepare to go down to Lavington, my prayer is that God will use every one of us one way or another down there in Lavington to be a witness for him. And our prayer is that people will get saved, whether it be children throughout the program or adults that may be observing. Or even if we get out on the street and witness, we will see somebody challenged and someone get saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son and thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that we'd respond to the voice of your Spirit, Lord, when we're told to witness and give our tracts. And I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here tonight that you've been working on, Lord, I pray that they'd surrender to whatever you've been calling them to do. And I pray, Lord, that you just use us as we prepare to go down to Lavington. Please help in the preparation and the teaching and everything that will be done. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified by everything done and said down there. And we pray, Lord, we'd see fruit come from this mission trip. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my brother.
Good encouragement from God's word. We can all be missionaries. Doesn't take a theological degree, just a person who's saved and says how God saved them.